This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the TriDot Podcast. This should be a fun one today, talking through the eight things every great pain cave should have. A good pain cave setup can make it so much easier and so much more enjoyable to knock out those indoor sessions. And boy, oh boy, do we have a great pairing on the show to chat about pain cave setup. Our first guest joining us today is Mike Klukas. Mike is the founder and CEO of Full Gaz, an indoor cycling app that is all about bringing the joy of riding outside to your indoor rides. As a cyclist himself, Mike traveled the world racing on a bike, and he spent a decade running the Victorian Institute of Sport Triathlon program and worked with the national triathlon team during the golden years of Australian triathlon. He launched Full Gaz in 2014 and continues his work creating virtual training experiences for athletes through the app. Mike, welcome to the TriDot Podcast. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here, and thanks for the amazing introduction. Makes me sound really important.
Also joining us today is the Ultraman himself, TriDot coach Jason Verbracken. Jason lives in San Diego, California, where he works as a Pepsi sales manager in addition to coaching TriDot athletes. He has been racing tries for 7 years, racking up 9 Ironman, 1 Ultraman, and 5 extreme triathlon finish lines in that time. Coach Verby, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
Not mentioned in your bio, but I should mention it, Jason, is you have a killer pain cave. And so when I was knew I needed a TriDot coach to come on and talk to us about making sure your pain cave was ready to rock and roll, I was like, yeah, I'm going to reach out to Verby and make sure he's on this episode. So thanks for coming on and taking the time. I am Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and the captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we will roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and then we'll wind things down with Vanessa interviewing a TriDot coach to get a coach cool-down tip. We've had sports scientist Andy Blow from Precision Fuel and Hydration on the show quite a few times to help you nail your hydration and fueling strategy for training and racing. We've learned from Andy that you'll need to replace a portion of your carb, electrolyte, and fluid losses with what you eat and drink if you want to perform at your best. So Andy and the team at Precision Fuel and Hydration have developed a fuel planner so that you can take the guesswork out of your race nutrition plan. Head over to precisionfuelandhydration.com to take the fuel planner and get your free personalized race nutrition strategy. You can then book a call with PF&H's athlete support team to refine your strategy. And don't forget that TriDot listeners can get 10% off their very first order of electrolytes and fueling products by using the code TRI23 at the checkout at precisionfuelandhydration.com.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Anyone who spends hours outside on a bike will know how important it is to properly pack your jersey pockets with the items that you might need during your ride. There are a number of usual candidates, things like keys, a cell phone, gels, cash, a flat kit, a jacket, sunnies. Those are all kind of typical items to end up in a jersey pocket for a ride. But what I'm interested in today, here on our warm-up question, for all your hours outdoors on a bike, what is something unexpected that somehow ended up in your jersey pocket? Coach Verby, what do you think?
This question has been bugging me. And
has it?
Yes.
Really?
It's been driving me crazy because I can't think of anything that has been in my back pocket that's out of the ordinary. I'm very particular what goes back there, and I just not going to pick up anything random. So just your normal, gosh, a couple extra tubes, maybe if I was going out for a really long ride, and I'm not one to dilly dally around and stop, and nothing weird has gotten in the back ever.
I looked at your bios and I knew the two of you have spent a considerable amount of time on a bike. And so I was like, if there's two guys to ask this question to, it is Mike and Coach Verbee. So yeah, we're finding that Coach Verbee goes out extremely prepared. He stays extremely prepared and no nonsense ends up in the back pockets of Coach Verbee on his ride. So very interesting. Mike, do you have anything here to chime in with?
But the weirdest thing probably would be surround sound audio kit. We're experimenting with 360 video recording for the Olympic courses, and we sort of had a special mount on the front of the bike about head height. And all of the time with visual stuff, it's actually the sound that makes you think something's more realistic or higher quality. So we figured, you know what, we'll record the audio in a kind of really high quality without the wind. So the only way that would work was in my back pocket. So
okay,
we did it and no one cared. It was a complete waste of time. But it was an interesting experiment, and that was the only way to do it.
Jeff Buer, our founder and CEO, he for years coached a youth and junior triathlon team. While he was working with the Try for Him Junior Elite team, I was like, hey, let me come out and get some footage of the kids, you know, training and racing. And, you know, we'll make a little social media commercial for the Try for Him Junior Elite team, and other kids and parents can find the team and join. And so I showed up to one of their group rides. And so I was riding with the kids and trying to get footage of them. I'm riding around Texas Motor Speedway, where they knock out their training sessions, with a drone in my back pocket. And I would get ahead of them, or I would get behind them, and I would get off my bike and I'd set the drone up, and I'd get the drone in the air and they'd all come flying by, and I'd follow with the drone for a second. And yeah, just chasing them around on their group ride with a drone in my back pocket makes that my answer to this question. So like we always do, we're going to throw this question out to our audience. Make sure you're a member of the I Am Tri-Dot Facebook group. We've got tens of thousands of triathletes just talking swim, bike, and run every single day on that group. And every Monday when the new show comes out, I throw this question out to you. So you heard from Coach Verbee, no nonsense in his back pocket. You've heard from me and Mike. We had some good answers here. I'm curious to hear from you, from all of your outdoor rides. What is the weirdest thing that has ever ended up in that jersey pocket?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
With a variety of options, budgets, and equipment combinations, there is no one right way to set up a pain cave. But there are certainly some guiding principles that can make your indoor training much more efficient and enjoyable. And today, our guests will talk us through 8 things every great pain cave should have. You may not have the budget, the space, or the desire to incorporate all 8 of these into your setup, and that's okay. But you'll certainly get some ideas from this chat today. And Mike Verbee, where I want to start today, before we get into the things that a pain cave maybe even should have or can have, what does your actual pain cave look like? Mike, what's in your pain cave?
My pain cave? Well, it's got equipment in there I can't tell you about.
Ooh.
That's not out yet. Some of it's pretty good.
Very cool.
But because if you think about it, because our app has to work with everything, we often have one of everything. So
We've
got, our office is full of every brand of trainer you can imagine and smart bike you can imagine. But for me at home, it's pretty simple. It's a Wahoo Kicker, it's a Kicker Climb, and it's a Wahoo Fan. And it's not because, well, I am a fan of Wahoo, to be honest, but it's not because of any commercial arrangement. It's because that stuff's really good. But I also use, I've used a big TV, but I actually, because I wear glasses, I just use an iPad really close. So I've got a stand that keeps the iPad really close to my face, and just wear my reading glasses that I wear sort of for short and middle distance stuff. Then I can see everything. It's all focused, and what's in front of me is there. And the climb's there, really. So it seems, it's one of those things that seems like a bit of an extravagance, and it is. But if you're doing longer rides indoors, it just changes that angle that you're riding up and down. So it's moves those pressure points around, which really, if you're doing a lot of work indoors, which I think people increasingly are,
It really helps.
Coach Verby, your own personal pain cave. What's in it? What's your setup like?
Well, my pain cave has been relocated many times through the years. Or we can just say I've gotten kicked out of many places in the house. So finally, I'm at a 10 by 12 wood shed in the backyard is where my pain cave is now. So in mine, same thing. I've got the kicker climb, rocker plate for my bike setup. I got a whiteboard in there that I can write on race goals or when my race is coming up or some kind of motivational quote I'm on right now. I got the TV with the surround sound, but I also, again, with me, with my glasses, I have next to me a stand with my iPad running, running everything, kind of any virtual platforms I'm running on. Let's see, I have a cabinet in there that has all, my different cycling shoes, my helmets, tubes, all the kind of accessories you have with training. And then I have a Britney Spears cutout. She's about 5 feet tall. Cardboard cutout of Britney Spears.
Yeah, you do.
I don't remember where Britney, I know where Britney came from. She was sponsored by Pepsi many years ago. And, so it's her probably in her, gosh, she's probably 18 and somehow she ended up in the pain cave. And she's been there for years now. So when things get tough, I can take a glance at her and she's there smiling, drinking a Pepsi, and I just can keep pushing.
Definitely motivating to have a friend with you in the pain cave, so to speak. So was not anticipating that in your answer. Own pain cave, my wife and I, we had a spare bedroom we were able to convert into a workout room. So we have a TV on the wall. With a Roku. So my wife is not an endurance athlete. She enjoys doing beach body workouts. So she can fire up her beach body workouts on the TV in there. I'll stream my Spotify music through that TV when she's not in there. So that's pretty simple. Treadmill and the tax bike are side by side. And the rest of the room kind of stays open for my wife to do her workouts as she's looking at that TV. Pain caves are really fun to look at. It's always fun. I actually follow, I'm going to give a shout out to that there's an account on Instagram called Pain Caves. That there's a guy, he's a professional triathlete and he runs an account called Pain Caves and he just features what other people are doing with their pain caves. And I love just kind of seeing people's setups and seeing what other people are doing. And so that's kind of the heart here today is for us to just learn, what we can do with our pain caves and learn what's helpful. And Mike, with all the equipment that you have that you've tested, and with Verby, with all the stuff I know you've looked into to optimize your own setup, I know we're going to have a great conversation here today. So we've promised to cover what I consider to be the 8 major categories for pain cave development. So let's get into that list. I'll introduce these one by one, and we'll let Mike and Coach Verby share what is possible for each one in our pain cave. And we're going to start with the most essential thing. I don't think you can even consider it a proper triathlon pain cave without some sort of indoor bike setup of some kind. So guys, what options are available for athletes to get their bike inside and ready for an indoor workout? Mike, it sounds like you have a lot of those options at Full Gas headquarters. So why don't you start here?
Obviously, your budget sort of rears its ugly head over all of this. So I think we can sort of explain there's different ends of the spectrum, but I think you would spend most of your money on the thing you're going to be riding. So if you're going to ride indoors a lot, I think if you can do it, get yourself a smart bike, get yourself the Neo bike or the Stages bike or the Wahoo bike, something like that, because that's not going to throw oil all over the carpet. Which would get it moved into yet another location for the pain cave. But so you'd focus on making sure the thing you sit on is as good as you can afford within your budget, and anything from there is a bonus. So I'd focus on that first.
Yeah, like he said, what you're going to be spending the most hours on it. You want it the most comfortable. So, again, price is the big thing. So you can go from rollers to like what you got, the whole new virtual bike. So just, you got to figure out what your budget is and, where you can spend. But remember, you're going to be putting in a lot of hours on it. So I always say go with the upper end because your butt will thank you.
You know, it's a really good point. But talking of that, I think even if, you know, you've got one of those, get a saddle that you're familiar with and ride it.
Yep.
Ride a decent pair of shorts indoors. The temptation is to say, well, look, no one's going to see me. I'll just put a crappy old pair of shorts on. To be honest, wear your best shorts indoors. And again, your butt will thank you.
And Mike, you talked about investing in, there's different levels to what your bike is attached to. Your bike has to be attached to something indoors. And there are magnetic trainers, there are fluid trainers, there are rollers, there are smart trainers, and then there's the smart bikes. Mike, do you have any strong opinions on what level of trainer an athlete should be looking for to have their training be more efficient, or is it just whatever your budget allows, it's all going to work out okay?
Oh, look, anything is better than nothing, but if we were to draw a line somewhere, if you're serious about your training, I would get a indoor trainer that's a smart trainer, which nearly all of them are now, really. But more importantly, you take the wheel off. So you haven't got the tire spinning on a roller and spraying rubber up the back wall of your pain cave pass. But you take the wheel off, you put the bike on, and then that's going to simulate lots of different gradients and allow you to, if you're doing a structured workout, you know, really get the right amount of resistance. But I think there's a very much a feeling, or has been in the past, that indoor training isn't really proper training. It's sort of like a substitute for riding outside. But we've been doing a lot of research lately into like the training effects of different types of training, like going right into pedaling dynamics and torque and stuff like that. And it's a lot harder to ride inside. So it's actually doing you more benefit. Not only you're not stopping at traffic lights, but you're spending more time, as the Europeans would say, with the chain tight. And based on that, it's something that's really worth bringing up is it is proper training. So it's worth looking after your bike. Like some people sweat heaps. You know the guy that's sort of staggering through the finishing chute at an Ironman race just caked in salt? Well, that same guy or girl has probably also just about dissolved the handlebars on their bike they're riding. Just put a towel over the handlebars or something, one of those microfiber towels, and have that between your hands and the handlebars, and that'll stop sweat seeping in under the handlebar tape. Try and keep the sweat off and keep lubing that chain, because it's under a lot more tension than it is outside. So they do actually, despite the fact there's no grit getting in there, they do actually wear out quicker. So it's worth bearing in mind that it's not just a set and forget kind of thing. You've got to look after that bike even though it's not going out in the elements, because you're basically pouring warm, salty water over every time you ride and doing your best to stretch the chain. So yeah, look after it.
I've always put towels over the front end of my bike. I just drape towels over the aero bars, and it's more comfortable for my arms anyway, but then it keeps the sweat off the front end, that's for sure. I am absolutely guilty over the years of not taking care of my drivetrain while it's sitting there. I don't lube the chain enough, because I think you just think to yourself like, oh, I'm not riding outside. Dirt's not getting in there. Debris's not getting in there. You know, it's just inside. It's fine. But yeah, you forget that you're putting so much torque on that chain, and you're using it day after day after day. And so absolutely remember to take care of your chain. Remember to take care of your drivetrain and freshen those up from time to time while they're indoors on the trainer. Jason, talk to us about some of the things you have in your pain cave and you've seen your athletes get that can add some motion and can add some ride feel to your ride.
The best thing, and I have it, and I would tell that to any athlete, is if you're going to spend a lot of time on it, get a rocker plate underneath it. You know, it's, I know you and I have talked about it before, Andrew, and I think I helped convince you to get one.
True.
it's not a, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing in the world, but it makes a difference where you're going to go, oh my gosh, my butt is feeling so much better, because it, you know, it more gives you that back and forth like you're outside. It just takes that little bit of pressure off that lower region that when you're on the trainer, you know, if you got an Ironman training and you got a 5-hour ride, I can mentally go inside or outside. It doesn't matter. My butt's going to feel the same. And like Mike had said too, I got the Kicker Climb, and that makes a big difference also, just working those different muscles, getting that, you know, just that little bit of like riding up a hill changes the angle you're at, changes, you know, from sitting in that same position for that 5 hours, it's keeping you the movement going. And again, simulating the best you can for an outdoor ride. And that is key. That is key to training, to simulate it the best you can. So those two things are huge.
Okay. So we've talked about setting up your bike quite a bit there. But that was really helpful. That, I mean, that is the crux of a good pain cave, is having your bike properly set up and knowing what your options are to optimize that setup. So let's move on to item number two. Thing number two that every great pain cave should have is a virtual platform to display what is happening on your ride. Now, Mike, you have literally created one of these with Full Gas. So you know firsthand. Tell us, why should a great pain cave have a virtual component?
Well, it's pretty simple, really. What you're trying to do is move from having it as a pain cave to a performance cave. So you want to be doing stuff that's productive and not hating every second of it. You've got the virtual stimulation part of it, and different platforms do different things. And I think it's keeping you occupied and keeping you honest, like, so you're actually doing the work that you think you set out to do. I think that's also really important, regardless of the platform.
Make it a performance cave and not a pain cave. Coach Verby, I know you absolutely use virtual platforms in your training. What's your two bits when you're talking with your athletes on why they should kind of incorporate this into their pain cave?
I mean, some of the great things about it, one is, you know, it's right there for you. You can, you know, there's really no excuse, and it gives you so many different variety of training options. It has, you know, the realistic simulation. You know, you can ride the race courses now. I mean, you're getting firsthand knowledge of what the course is going to be like and how you're going to feel at mile, you know, 80 on Ironman Arizona course. Plus another thing is you got the social engagement. You know, again, you're alone in your pain cave, but you can be virtually riding with your best friend. I could be riding with Mike, and he's in a whole nother country. I mean, how great is that? And, you know, we can be talking, and, you know, we can set it up so we're suffering together or having our great performance together. You know, I mean, that's what makes the virtual platform so great. Plus, I mean, safety too, going out on the road to staying in. You know, just all those things. I think, like Mike was saying, you know, I can remember the time where I was just on a piece of paper, there was my workout next to the bike, and that gets boring, you know, especially if you're doing 2-3 sessions a week, and after a couple of months of that, you're over it. So this just this keeps you fully engaged. And, you know, if you're excited, hey, I got a group ride with a whole bunch of friends coming on Saturday, it's something you look forward to, and it's not something you're dreading and wanting to go do. So that virtual part of it and getting on that platform it's huge.
Yeah. I personally can't speak to, I've never used Trainer Road. I'm aware it's out there. TriDot has an integration with Trainer Road, so you can push your TriDot workout to Trainer Road and it will be right there waiting for you. I've never used Ruvi. I've filmed some courses for Ruvi because we did a couple of remote races with Ruvi. So the two that I'm most familiar with are Full Gas and Zwift, and I use Zwift for a long, long time. And I've always liked Zwift. There's a lot of pros to it. At the time we're recording this podcast, did my first ride on Full Gas yesterday. And Mike, I loved it. I had a very strong first impression. TriDot has integrated with Full Gas. It was super cool. I logged on. I fired up the Kona World Championship course. My TriDot workout was right there waiting for me. So I just had to click one button and my workout was loaded, and I was able to follow along with it. And as soon as I was done, my workout went straight to TriDot and I got my TrainX score. So Mike, that genuine positive feedback. I'm not just saying all this because you were on the podcast. I had a very, very good first impression. But being on the show and taking of your time to come on our show and talk pain caves with us, I wanted to give you the chance to just kind of tell us what makes Full Gas different and unique in the space of virtual training platforms.
The key difference with Full Gas over some of the other platforms that you might try is in the realism. So not only is it 4K vision, but the stuff that we do with the data means that climb, if you're climbing up RV, it's going to feel just as bad as it would if you're there in real life. And people, we get people sort of write and complain, your app's terrible because it's so hard. And I always wanted to write back and go. I always wanted to write back and say, yeah, that's bike riding. It sucks. It's tough.
Yeah.
But I've learned to be more polite than that. But the point is that it's the same physiological load indoors and outdoors. If you're just riding the course, it's incredibly close. So you can mix up saying, hey, you know what? I'd love to do an Ironman in Norway, or I'd love to go exploring the Loire Valley in France. You can go and do that visually whilst getting that prescribed training load from Tridot. And working through that way. So there's two different ways to use it, to experience what it feels like to be there, or just to experience what it looks like to be there but do what you've been told to do as a workout. And I think it's really important to understand that if you have got the Kona course, you haven't got to start at mile zero, so you can chop it up into different sections. So if you've got to do like an hour steady, you can say, you know what, I'm going to do the final hour, then I'm going to get off and run. So you can chop it up and do that, which is super helpful. Otherwise, you've got a 100 and something mile course. You don't want to start at the beginning all the time because you'll never get to the end. So it's a handy little tip.
And I know for our Tridot athletes, when they sign up for that half Ironman, they're given a race rehearsal 4 weeks out and 2 weeks out from race day. And so you can do your Tridot sessions and follow along with the workout. And then once race rehearsal day comes around, you can do your race rehearsal on your actual race course and get a feel for what that effort takes up that hill, down that hill, up that mountain, down that mountain. Definitely a super cool thing. And with Full Gas, there are club rooms. And so we have a Tridot club room that I know Dan Kasky, our Tridot staff member who's in charge of the Tridot community building, he's getting organized some, and our integration with Full Gas is very new. So we're still kind of building this out, but he's kind of developing a system for us to have some group rides in our Full Gas club room. So very excited to see that take off. We're going to do a YouTube video with Beck from the team at Full Gas, just kind of talking more about how the club rooms work and how you can get into those Tridot group rides. So go follow us on YouTube to kind of catch wind of all of that. But I had a great experience with my first Full Gas ride, and I'm definitely hungry for more. So you guys just helped us get our bikes ready to ride outdoors. But thing number three that a great pain cave should have is a way to run indoors. And is this essential? No, it's not essential. You can run outdoors. A lot of gyms have treadmills. But can a pain cave be great without it? I'm going to argue no. We are swim, bike, run. Running is one of our sports. And if you want your pain cave to be a great pain cave, to me, you need to have some sort of viable way to do some run training indoors. Jason, what are the options here for athletes? And do you have a way to run indoors? I don't recall hearing it in your opening description of your pain cave.
I do not have one in my pain cave, but I think you can have a great pain cave without a treadmill. And well, that's going to vary though too, where you live.
Yeah, great point.
Me being in San Diego, my weather is pretty perfect, and you know, I don't have one because I can just get out and get that run done no matter what. So for me, I would say you can have a great one without it.
I bought a treadmill and put it in my pain cave to run indoors when it's a heat index of 111 in June, which is what we have today and this week. So to me, it's an essential. And I know, some people, they will live close to their gym. And so you can kind of get this by proxy of just driving a couple minutes down to your gym. That counts. That's good. But you've got to have an easy way to get on a treadmill to knock out that training session. Mike, is this something that you have in your headquarters, your house, or no?
Headquarters, yes. House, no. But I think it's one of those things, though, I think where the hardware's not really there. Like the bike riding hardware indoors is amazing. And there's not yet anything on the market. I know there's stuff planned, but there's not yet anything on the market that's kind of smart in that same way. So it's a kind of a chicken and egg thing though, I think. I think if the hardware is better, then software people like myself and other people in the market can then put effort in. We've got some, but it's hard to know what the level of interest is. And that's something that would be great to hear about from the Tridot community.
Yeah. And that's a very interesting thought. I certainly would definitely fire up an Ironman course to see what that run course looks like. Thing number four that a great pain cave should have is equipment for strength training. Lots of options here. So many options, in fact, that every triathlete should have some sort of a way to build strength in the home pain cave. What do you guys see athletes doing at home for strength setup? Mike?
One sticks in my mind for all the wrong reasons. Remember those, I think it was Bowflex that Chuck Norris used to promote?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, a guy had that and the poster of Chuck Norris. And it was just,
yes.
It
was sure. Just, all in.
It yeah. Was just, he's all in. I was impressed and horrified in equal amounts.
Coach Verby, what do you like to see your athletes have in their pain cave for some strength work?
I feel like as long as you have the basics, you can still get in an amazing workout with just having some dumbbells, some bands. Just those two things alone you can knock out in an amazing workout. You know, a good mat to be on for if you're doing crunches or planks or whatever, you know, those things are really all you need. And then depending how much room you have and how crazy you want to get, like you said, you can get a weight bench and then the barbells and a squat rack. And, you know, it depends on one, your budget and one, how much room you have.
But a great pain cave will have a few dumbbells and maybe a kettlebell or two laying around. Thing number five that a great pain cave should have, a recovery corner. This does not have to be in a corner, obviously, but we should absolutely be doing stuff to recover as hard as we train. Coach Verby, what can an athlete have at home to spark recovery?
Again, a good mat for doing yoga, for stretching. That's key, something that you're comfortable on the floor. And then you got, you know, your foam roller, a massage ball, you know, a lacrosse ball, a tennis ball to really get in those hard hit places. Massage gun, then, you know, now we want to start going more high end, then we get, you know, the compression boots, hyperbaric chambers. I mean, we can go all out on recovery if you want to get crazy. but you know, just a few, you know, again, like you said, start simple. You get a good mat for yoga and stretching, a foam roller, a tennis ball. I mean, you're out probably under $50 right there, and you got a good little recovery area and some tools for it.
If we keep using that sort of performance cave analogy, recovery is all about process. So it's not just the equipment you've got, it's what you do with it. So if you really want to go for it, you take the mantra that you go in the room, you do not get on the bike until you've done your kind of little activation routine. And you do not leave the room until you've done your post-ride little stretch recovery routine.
Wow.
You know, if you wanted to get really kind of, I'm in Eastern Europe at the moment, so maybe that's kind of rubbing off on me. Like, we'll do this and this and this and this. But it's kind of, you know, and you could go, oh, it's going to take too long. But that's the time you would have taken to get dressed to go outside.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
You know, I think if you're just saying, and you don't need to go crazy. You can just be like, do 2 minutes of stuff before you ride and do 2 to 5 minutes when you finish. You think about the amount of times you do that through the year, that's a few hours of extra, like full on quality pre-ride activation and post-ride recovery just by doing that.
But being in the West, just Western culture, I think probably 98% of our audience, probably that really struck home or should have struck home. I am one of them. I've got 1 hour for this workout. I've got things to do before, things to do after. I'm going to go. I'm going to hop on the bike. I'm going to hop off the bike and get back to my life. And yes, absolutely. Take that time. That is a challenge. I mean, that's a challenge to our audience today. When you do those pain cave sessions, add in a couple minutes on the front end for activation drills, add in a couple minutes on the back end for some. And if your mat is right there, if you've got the yoga mat right there in your great pain cave, there's no reason not to hop off the bike, unroll it. I mean, you need to cool off anyway. You need to let the sweat kind of calm down anyway before you go about your next daily activity. So take that time on the floor, do some stretching, do some recovery modalities. Great word there, Mike, about performance cave, not pain cave, being intentional with your recovery corner. Thing number six that a great pain cave should have. I'm very passionate about this one, maybe because I'm a Texan. But airflow, it does not take long for the sweat to start pouring indoors. Getting air flowing over your face and your body will do wonders for your pain cave comfort. What do you guys recommend that athletes do to get the air moving in their pain cave? Mike, what do you think?
Again, it comes down to budget, but get that air moving. And this also comes back to what we were talking about at the start, which is about look after your bike. So if that sweat on your face is evaporating into the room rather than dripping down the back of your head stem and rusting your headset onto the rest of the bike, it's a win. And the custom fans made for indoor training are amazing. They really blow a really narrow sort of shaft of air at you. But if you can't afford that, you know, a couple of cheap fans from Amazon works wonders.
Yeah, yeah, they sure do. We at this point in our pain cave have a couple fans. We have the ceiling fan, obviously, but we also have I have one fan. It's a Vornado. And I just bought it like last week to put in front of my new Tac smart bike. And so that just blows a nice column of air right on me. When I'm on the smart bike, we have another one that was kind of just a $60 at Home Depot, really good size, blows a good amount of air. We have that in the corner facing the area where my wife does her workout so that she has some air moving on her face. And then I have a little clip-on fan that was $20 off of Amazon that clips on to the top of my treadmill and blows air right on my face when I'm on the treadmill, and I am covered with that. I'm pretty happy in every single corner of the space. Coach Verby, anything that I'm missing here that is a nice addition to a airflow of your pain cave?
I think you hit it all. It's fans, and more fans. Yes. that is the key.
No need to get fancy. Yep. Yeah, simple fans, right?
Yes.
Simple fans, whatever's in the budget. I am curious to hear, both of you guys, I know, Mike, you mentioned having the Wahoo headwind solution, and that picks up pace as your workout gets harder, and it backs off when your efforts are easier. Is that pretty cool? Is that worth the money for somebody that has the budget for it?
It's also really good for the kind of Beyonce hair flowing around.
Yeah,
if you wanted it. It's you can set it up to work with heart rate. So the higher your heart rate gets, the more the wind blows on you. So that's sort of then inferring like core temperature, so you're working harder, so you're getting hotter. Or you can do it by road speed, or I just say I feel I'm getting hotter, I'll turn it up higher. And you can do that from your if you can't reach it, you can do it from your phone in their app. So it's pretty cool like that. But yeah, it just gives you a more sort of focused blast of air, if that makes sense. So it's not just a general turbulence, it's like it's really pushing, you know, blasting that sweat off.
Yeah. One more kind of next level of fan tip. And it sounds like you have this in the Wahoo fan, since you can control it with the app. But if you can find a fan that comes with a remote control, that there is nothing worse than walking into your pain cave on a fall or winter morning when it's actually chilly in your pain cave, and hopping on the bike, starting your bike session, starting your treadmill session, and then 10 minutes in, having to hop off to go turn on your fan because you did not want your fan on when you first started the workout. Or conversely, if it's warm in there and you forget to turn on the fan, you start pedaling, you're like, oh, I gotta go turn my fan on. I do that all the time. One more next level tip. If you are a TriDot athlete, we have TriDot athletes in our audience. We have non-TriDot training athletes in our audience. We welcome both, of course. But a next level tip, when you do your TriDot session, TriDot has environment normalization, where we will tell you what intensities you should be riding and running at based on your environmental conditions. So when it's hotter outside, you need to back off the pace. When it's cooler outside, you need to you can increase the pace. And there is a box on your TriDot app to check off that you are doing an indoor workout. That indoor workout defaults to 70 degrees and a moderate amount of humidity, because it's assuming that you have comfortable conditions indoors. So if you ever do your workout, you fire up your ride on full gas and you do your 1 hour TriDot session on a Tuesday, and you did not tell TriDot that you were doing that indoors, it will think that you were outdoors, and your score will be reflected as the paces you should have done outdoors. So it's always worth firing up the app, clicking the box that you're doing that workout indoors, and so that you do the paces you're supposed to be doing and you get this correct score. So just wanted to plug that. No other triathlon training platform has that feature. It is something unique to us. We've studied it, and definitely want to make sure I plug that, because every once in a while, even being on staff, I will forget to check that box before my ride. And afterwards, I'm like, man, why did I score a 70? I should have scored a 100. I did that workout perfectly. Ooh, I did not collect the indoor ride. Verby, have you ever done that before? You ever forgotten to check the indoor bike ride?
Well, seeing I'm in a wood shed, I keep it on outdoor conditions because okay. It's always whatever.
Good point.
It's usually actually warmer than what the temperature actually says outside, because it's sun is beating on the wood shed and it's nice warm there. So I keep it on outdoor. I'm lucky enough to be in outdoor conditions inside, I guess we'll say.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, very good point. Okay, we have two more things to cover here. Thing number 7 that a great pain cave should have: entertainment. Hop on your bike for 90 minutes indoors and just stare at the wall and pedal. I dare you. Look, you absolutely can. You can get through your workout that way if that's your thing. You are mentally tougher than I am if you can do that. I think, personally, a great pain cave should have some ways to help you occupy the time. We already talked about Full Gas and other virtual platforms. That certainly helps keep your mind engaged. But there are other options in addition to that. You can throw on some music. You can throw on a Netflix show. You can throw on a movie or some podcasts. Mike, Jason, what do you guys think about in-flight entertainment, so to speak, for the pain cave? And Mike, I'm curious to hear from you. I mean, when you do your sessions, do you find Full Gas to just be engaging enough that you don't have anything else on? Or do you kind of find some other ways to mix up the entertainment?
Got to be honest, I don't find it entertaining enough. What I do is I find that, particularly when you're going to ride hard, you want to take your brain away from the effort. So I want something that engages my brain. So I'll listen to podcasts. That's my go-to. Some people like really loud music, like really motivational stuff. I'm hyped enough as it is. I need to be calmed down and taken away from, you know, the sort of teeth grinding effort it might be. So
yeah,
podcasts. Do you want me to name some?
Sure.
So obviously it would have to be the Tri-Dot podcast as the first one then.
But thank
for
you.
For your second session, I would go to the Silco Marginal Gains podcast if you're a bit of a nerd like me.
Phenomenal. Fantastic.
Fantastic. They do a beautiful job. Josh Portland's just fascinating, the main guy there at Silco, and it's always inspiring me to buy too many of their products, I suppose, but also just discover stuff. Anything from the Escape Collective, that was Cycling Tips, especially their Geek Warning episode that they do. So they do like 3 or 4 podcasts a week. Again, that's very strongly in cycling, but very fascinating nonetheless. And if you want to go off on a completely different tangent, so some people might say, you know what, I need to be distracted even more. I don't want to know anything about sport. Being originally from England, there's a podcast called The Rock on Tours, which is interviews by musicians, interviewing musicians sort of from the 80s onwards through to now. And that's pretty, sometimes you just get really carried away with their story and what they're talking about. Oh, I finished the session. That was really cool. Or there's a business podcast by a guy called Mitch Joel. His 6 Pixels podcast is awesome. He interviews some incredible people. So again, you know, you get caught up in that conversation or that topic, and that just helps time fly by. That's how I do it.
A couple of great recommendations there from Mike for your podcast listening. It's so funny how this is different for everybody, because for Mike, it's podcasts and not music. For me, I've got to have some music going. I'm a music guy. And on Zone 2 days, it's, to your point, it's kind of some chiller, calmer music. On rah-rah interval days, it is some hyped-up punk rock music. I know Tri-Dot coach and pro triathlete Elizabeth James, she's a proponent of doing nothing. She likes to stare at the wall and work on her mental grit factor on the indoor sessions. I can't imagine it, but that's the way she likes to do it. Coach Verby, what do you think is kind of the way to view optimizing your indoor entertainment options?
God, for me, I'm all over the place. I'm podcast to music to different shows on TV. It just kind of depends what mood I'm in and how I'm feeling for that day. So like for me, I got my TV in there. I got a Bluetooth speaker. So And sometimes it changes 3-4 times in an hour session, just depending, you know, some music might not be working for me. So then I'll start listening to a podcast and I'll get bored with it. And then I'll flip on and put YouTube on and be watching different things on YouTube. So, you know, I'm all over the place. And sometimes I just I'm an Elizabeth James and I just don't want anything. I just want to just focus on what's going on and have nothing else going on.
Something I saw that I thought was super clever. Tim O'Donnell and Marinda Carfrae, Iron Man champions, now on board as tryout coaches. They're great Instagram follows. And if you follow them on Instagram, you'll see some clips and some pictures from their pain cave. They have their bikes on trainers on one side of the room. And there's a couple feet between them and where they have TVs on the wall. And they have those TVs mounted, not up where you would normally mount a TV, but those TVs are mounted down towards the floor. And so they can sit an arrow and their head position is looking forward towards the floor where you would be looking at the road on race day, but they're able to watch TV there. And I don't know if they have their favorite virtual cycling platform of choice. I don't know if they have Netflix or something that they're watching, but I thought that was really clever just in terms of TV placement. If your space works out that way, to have your TV placed where you can actually have a neutral line of sight and watch whatever it is you're watching to entertain yourself. So I just wanted to throw that little tip out there. Shout out to Tim and Rennie for that tip. But yeah, now I my newest setup, now that I have my Tac Smart Bike, for the first time, I just had the iPad in front of me on the iPad holder, and I had my full gas ride right in front of me, and the full gas course footage in front of me with my Spotify punk rock playlist blaring, and I was cool as a cucumber. So yeah, this is kind of personal preference, but whatever you like to do, there's some clever ways to optimize the screens and optimize the way you're looking at it or listening to it, and some great podcast recommendations there from Mike. So I'll move us on to thing number 8 that a great pain cave should have. Last and final one we're covering. You got to have some motivational decor, right? Sure, it's your performance cave. Sure, it's your pain cave, but you got to have something to remind you of why you're going through all this pain. Spruce up the place, people. I mean, you are going to spend a good chunk of time in your pain cave. So make it your own, deck it out, hang something on those walls. Coach Verby, what have you done to your shed?
My shed has my Extreme Triathlon.
It's got Britney Spears.
Oh, Britney Spears. Yes. Sorry. She's number one. Britney's number one. I'm sorry. It's my fault. And then I also have my finisher shirts from my Extreme Triathlons framed on the wall as my
very cool
kind of my motivation. If things are hurting, I look at those and be like, I've done harder stuff. Come on, step it up. And then I've seen, you know, with people with all their race medals, I've seen whole walls of all their race bibs. I always like that to see, you know, a whole wall just with every number they've ever raced with. Those are pretty cool. You know, you can have, again, your Chuck Norris, my Britney Spears hanging up in there. You know, you got the different motivational quotes I've seen people have with, you know, frame motivational quotes, kind of, you know, whatever's going to get you going and get you to focus in on what you need. I think it's, you know, it's great.
Mike, anything to add here? What do you think is some good, or is yours intentionally bare because it's a performance cave and not a pain cave?
No, not at all. I'll tell you what is really cool. I'm going to, you can edit this out if you like, but I'll plug a friend of mine's business.
Absolutely.
Business called Velo Mats, VeloMats.com. He makes custom.
I'm already intrigued.
He makes custom trainer mats. So you could have a tri-dot one, you can have one with your own name on it. You could have one with your worst enemy's face on it so you can stick your front wheel on it. That's got you thinking. You can have a whole selection of them. So you get team ones made. A friend of mine, Shane Miller, he's got a one with cobbles on it. So whatever design you can, think of, he'll make that in a mat you can put your bike on. Or you could make one that's treadmill size if you wanted. You can brand it up how you like. You can get them a whole bunch made for your team. Yeah, they're really cool. I'd check them out. That's like the ultimate finishing touch.
I need one now. So thanks for that. Follow the pros. Follow some cool Instagram accounts. Be on the lookout and pictures. We on our YouTube channel, that's something that we're starting to do is kind of feature tryout athletes. and their pain caves and let them kind of give us a tour of their pain caves. We've had two of those air on the channel so far. Some of our episodes, we kind of do a variety show where we kind of feature athletes in that way. Sometimes we just talk to a coach about something. And so that's even on our own YouTube channel. We're trying to kind of throw a splash at what different people are doing with their pain caves. But yeah, definitely have something on the walls, definitely find ways to spruce it up. So something unique to me, Andrew, the average triathlete, I have a hook on the wall. And anytime I go to a conference or I go to something, on behalf of TriDot, I have my lanyard with my name and the TriDot logo on it. So things like, conferences like Endurance Exchange. If I ever go to an Ironman race and I have a VIP badge, I have those hang on the wall. So it's kind of my history of working for the company via VIP lanyards hanging on the wall next to my treadmill. And so there's different things, right, that I have that. Verbi doesn't have that. So if you have something different that you think the TriDot audience should see, go to the Facebook group, make a post saying, hey, Andrew told me to post my unique pain cave feature to the group today. I want to see what you guys have. So please do that. That was number 8 on my list. I feel like I thought through all the major things that we can do to improve a pain cave. But before we have Vanessa take over for our coach cooldown tip, Verbi, Mike, are there any items or considerations we have not covered already that I did not have on my list of 8 that you can think through? This could be helpful for somebody to take their pain cave to the next level. Coach Verbi, anything that I missed?
Well, a couple things. Make sure your internet connection is good.
That's a great one.
You know, with all our virtual things, I ran into that with my shed. So I had to get a couple power boosters to get the internet out there. And then we're running all this electrical stuff. Make sure you have enough outlets in there. And also use surge protectors. We have a lot of expensive equipment and, you know, something happened, lightning strike your house, whatever, you want to make sure your equipment's safe. So have your stuff plugged into surge protectors. I think that's huge. And then also, as Mike just kind of said about a mat on the floor, something, you know, if you're going to be dropping weights, you know, make sure with your flooring, depending if it's in your house or not. Don't know if you've ever gotten off your trainer and you've been sweating a lot and you have a tile floor underneath you and you step down that on your cleats, and I may have fallen right down really hard before. So make sure you have something, a carpet, a mat, anything, again, for the weights, for the sweat, just, you know, some things to think of when you're designing your pain cave.
A couple of things. I love those suggestions, Verbi. Things I would not have thought to mention between the surge protectors and the Wi-Fi is a huge one. A couple of things I'll add here. I always in my pain cave keep, I have a laundry basket in the corner. And so it's really easy just to kind of throw your sweaty towels, your sweaty stuff in that basket. And then, you know, once a week, twice a week, kind of take that down to the laundry and just wash it all at once. I also keep my, I'm a big fan of Tutoms. They're skin lubricant. So I keep a roll-on of their Sport Shield in the cup holder of my treadmill, because I will get in the pain cave. I will have my tri shorts on. I'll be about to hop on the trainer. And if that roll is not in that room, if it is one room over and it is out of sight, I will talk myself out of walking over one room to grab that and apply it. And I will regret it after the ride. If it's in the same room, if it's in my line of sight, I will every single time grab it, roll it on real quick, hop on the bike, knock out my session and have no chafing and no issues. And I also keep a tube of my Precision Fuel and Hydration electrolytes. Mike, close down our main set today. Any next level items that Verbi and I have somehow missed in this conversation?
Ooh, you guys have set the bar pretty high. There's some really sensible, practical things that make sure you're covering the basics, which is make sure every session actually happens from beginning to middle to end, which is people forget, you know, that. But there is a little gadget you can get that will take your indoor training to the next level, which is a core body temperature sensor. You go, what do I need that for? It's a little thing. You'd see the Norwegians wearing them. You'd see a lot of Tour de France cyclists wearing them. It's a temperature that sensor that measures how hot you are. And it's fully integrated with full gaze, so you can see it while you ride. So if you're training for a hot event, you can make sure that you're spending enough time getting hot enough, but not so hot enough that it's going to do you damage. You perform differently as you get hotter, which is often a response to what's going on outside around you, but we're very inefficient. So if you're producing 250 watts, there's another 750 watts getting lost in heat. That's why the pain cave room gets really hot and you get really sweaty. But it's a fascinating sort of new area of performance science, looking at sort of controlling how hot you get. And it's one of the reasons that for the Norwegians is a good example, are now performing so well, is they've learned how to manage that heat and train themselves to get hotter without doing themselves harm.
There's always triathletes looking for that next level gadget they haven't heard of yet. And so that is absolutely a gadget to look into there. Well, Mike Verby, thank you so much for all of the Pain Cave expertise. And we're going to kick it over to Vanessa. She's going to interview a TriDot coach for today's cool down.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
It's Coach Cooldown Tip Time, and I'm Vanessa, your average triathlete with elite-level enthusiasm. Today on The Cooldown, our coach is Mandy Starling. Mandy works full-time in internal marketing and communications. She also mentors clients on emotional, mental, and physical health through body mapping and as a breathwork facilitator. On the side, Mandy started coaching with TriDot close to a year ago, as she loves sharing knowledge she has gained, having completed over 130 races within the last 10 years. Mandy loves coaching people starting out on their triathlon journey, and her specialty is short course racing and emotional health. Mandy currently lives in Utah with her husband, whom she describes as the man of her dreams, and they have a blended family with 10 children and 3 grandchildren. Welcome to the cool down, Mandy.
Hi, Vanessa. I'm so excited to be joining you today. Thank you so much for the invite.
Well, I'm super excited to chat with you today because we have something in common. We were both in marching bands way back in the day. And not only were you in a marching band, but you got to do something really cool. You got to lead the night parade as a drum major at Disney. And to me, that sounds like a dream come true.
It was Disney World. It was the night parade, and it was so awesome. It was just so much fun. But what instrument did you play? That's really cool.
I played the trumpet, but after about a year of playing the trumpet, I swapped over to color guard. So I did flags, rifles, sabers, and my favorite was the saber. So yeah, it was super fun. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I did clarinet and then switched to saxophone. Everybody thinks a drum major plays drums, but I didn't.
You definitely were able to live a dream. That's such a cool experience. Anyways, now this was way back in the day, and I wish I'd known at that time the power of our thoughts and the impact on performance. I used to get so nervous before any kind of competition that I was participating in. And I think that your next coaching tip might have been very helpful for me to hear. So tell me about the breath work and the effect it can have on the central nervous system and how this relates to what you tell your athletes when they're about to do a triathlon.
Yes. So everybody has a baseline breathing pattern. So just like you have a swim, bike, and run baseline speed or power output, you also have a baseline breath pattern. Everybody breathes in and out at their own rate. And whenever that gets out of balance, your body starts to freak out. And it's like, wait, what is going on here? And so it can often take you into fight, flight, or freeze. And as many people know, if you're in fight, flight, or freeze for too long, that starts to really wreak havoc on your body. So it can increase your blood pressure. It can increase your blood sugar. Your respiration rate, your digestive and immune systems are all slowed down. And a lot of those things come in really handy when you're at a race. You kind of need all of those things to be functioning properly. And so when all those things start shutting down and freaking out, it's really hard to stay in a positive mindset. So while you're racing, if you start, your thoughts just start going down the drain, it could be because you're in fight, flight, or freeze. So there are breathing techniques that you can do before you start your race and during your race that can help you to feel better and to have a better experience.
Tell us, Mandy. I'm like sitting on the edge of my seat. I'm really excited to know these techniques.
So my very first swim coach, keeping in mind that before I started triathlon, I had a fear of water and I'd never learned how to swim. So in my 30s, I first learned how to swim. And so the tip that she gave me has proven its worth in gold. And everyone I've shared it with, it's always helped them. So this tip is all about blowing bubbles. And so what you do, and this helps for if you're nervous before a race, it helps if there's really cold water, it helps to calm down your central nervous system so you can have a better experience. So whether you're starting the race, you know, as a group or jumping in one at a time, whether or not you can do a practice swim ahead of time, doesn't matter. As soon as you're able to get into the water, practice this technique, and that will help you to have a more calm race. So you just get in the water. You take in a deep belly breath, so breathing in from your belly. Just breathe in for four counts, and then put your entire face in the water and blow bubbles for eight counts. So in for four counts and out for eight counts. And you just do that a few times until you start to feel yourself calm down. And it's worked for me every time, especially those swims that are really cold. It helps you acclimate to the water. And also, it just tells your body that I'm safe. And I'm going to be okay. I'm not in danger. And so everything is good. And there was one athlete that I shared this with, and she'd really been struggling with that. And it kind of kept throwing off her entire race. And when I gave her this tip, she said her entire season was completely different. Wow. It was amazing because she was able to get calm right from the get-go and stay that way. But you can also use this breathwork pattern anytime during the race too, whether you're on the bike or the run. The run, it's a little harder, but if you walk through the aid station, that's a perfect time to in for four counts, out for eight counts. And that just helps everything to relax.
Yeah, I've noticed, I have two things to say about this. The first thing is, I love that tip. And I think that it's a really great way to allow your body to go from that, you know, the high adrenaline that you might be having right before a race to trying to dip into the parasympathetic nervous system and allowing yourself to just relax a little bit. I did have a coach once tell me in cold water, especially, that you need to focus on the exhale. But she didn't give me a, like this recipe for doing it. So thank you for the instructions on how to do it, like really specifically. And I can tell you it's winter here in Australia right now. And so the water is getting pretty chilly. So I'm going to run down to the ocean today and I'm going to give this technique a try and I'll let you know how it goes. Now, the second thing that I really like about this tip is that I've noticed for myself when I'm feeling a little bit, you know, nervous about something, or I feel like my heart rate has increased, I've noticed on my watch when I'm in the heart rate zone of my watch, like I can see the actual heart rate. If I do that technique just while sitting anywhere, I take the breath in for four counts and then I breathe out for eight counts. During that eight count period, that's when the heart rate is actually lowering because you're getting rid of the CO2. Like you're getting rid of all the CO2, your body's not working as hard. And so you're right, like doing this kind of thing on the bike or in the run, if you're doing a long course race, that can have a massive impact on your overall heart rate because the whole point is to keep your heart rate low for the entire race, right? So if you can lower it even by a few beats per minute for, you know, 5-10 minutes on the bike and 5-10 minutes on the run, you're good to go.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because on my bike ride yesterday, I had threshold intervals. And of course, my heart rate went up into zone 4 while I was in the zone 4 interval. And then when I was in the zone 2 interval later on, I started doing that breathing pattern, the in for four counts and out for eight counts. And it helped me reset my heart rate back to zone 2 much faster. So I was able to recover a lot more quickly after doing those tough intervals. Mm-hmm. And also you're reteaching your brain, you're reteaching your body that you're not putting it in danger. I know I keep bringing that up, but if your body keeps feeling like you're putting it in danger every time you exercise or every time you do a race, it's going to start preventing you from exercising and racing. And that's when you start getting injured and when you start getting sick because your body's just trying to keep you safe. And it thinks, well, if you're going to do another race, you're putting me in danger.
Right.
So that's another way this breathing really, really helps you to stay healthy. It's because you're telling your brain, nope, we're safe. We're okay. I don't have to get sick. I don't have to get injured. We're good.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.